Welcome to Adelaide Plains Chapter and Verse monthly podcast for all aspiring wordsmiths and versifiers.
Hi, I'm here, Carol Accord, President of Adelaide Plains Poets, and Jeanette.
Yes, and Marilyn right now is off in Dallas.
Lucky Marilyn. And it's summer there. Woohoo, yay, lucky Marilyn. I hope it's not too hot. Anyway, we've got some political fires happening in our brains because we're going to be talking about political poetry and political writings and things.
Yes, we were inspired by our wonderful guest speaker at last week's Poets at the Pub.
It was excellent. Juan Garrido did a fine job.
Formerly a refugee from Chile.
Yep.
So he had politics was very dear to his heart, having suffered extremely under a dictatorship.
Yes.
The Pinochet dictatorship in Chile.
And he was talking about the famous Chilean poet Pablo Neruda, who was certainly a political poet, and he told us, told us about all sorts of interesting ideas, and I wrote a poem, which I'll read right now. And the long title of this poem is A Poem for Every Person Who Spoke Out and Was Then Silenced. History brings the stories of the victors. The losers die or hide, their stories kept safe, unspoken, or spoken of only to have the words hidden away below the huge overflow of dollar signs, obligations, rules and regulations, where dissenting voices are hushed up, ignored. So where do they go from there? And then when will we see, will we hear those who need to be heard, be given the space, the chance to speak out in protest, to say their words, be heard and not ignored, silenced by ignorance. I feel quite warm up after having read that out loud. My political heart is beating warmly. Politics. I wish my hands were as warm.
The heart of everything I write is politics. All my books, or you've read, did you read The Gate?
I read some of The Gate, for sure, yep.
Yeah. Which is really about the politics of Australia in the 1930s.
Yep.
And often a lot of my writing is about looking at our own government's actions in the past. My most political, actually I was very excited about Martin speaking because I've long had an interest in Chile, and my most political novel is set in a alternate country that doesn't exist.
Which is similar to Chile.
Chile and other Latin American countries as well, and it's really about the rest's hypocrisy in over human rights.
There's a lot of hypocrisy out there.
Yes.
Political. It's just not good. No. Go to another poem.
Yes.
At the workshop, Juan was certainly talking about how Pablo Neruda considered poetry and politics could be very personal. And I certainly have my first book of poetry that came out called Damaged Children, Precious Gems. It's all about my journey from victim to survivor of sexual abuse. And you can't get a lot more personal than that. But this poem, I think, is politically relevant to the political thoughts. And it's called Art Classes. Week by week, I'm scalded by her suffering, intense anger and hatred, a violent boiling inside. Her tears overflow often. Her fear takes hold of her and grows. She finds no release, and the path to leave that hated place is blocked to her. I feel her pain and suffer with her, but my path is different. A simple wishing it hadn't been the way it was. No denial, just wishing it hadn't happened. I've suffered, now I'm healed. I've wept bitter tears from anger and shame, but found at last a quiet place of peace. Things happened to me, I can't deny that. But I'm not what happened, I am me. I was a victim, but I've moved beyond, growing into who I want to be. I'm not frozen in time, stuck in that one place. I'm healed, my anger spent, my mind cleansed. No longer a victim tied to what was done to me. I've moved past that. I'm a survivor. And I think that for many women, they get stuck because they can't see the better world that I can see. I'm very, very fortunate, but many, many women particularly aren't as fortunate as I am. Jeanette has something to read.
Yeah, I have two things. First of all, I was going to read this because I was thinking a lot about political poetry, and a lot of my favourite poems are. They're called poems. Of course, I thought I'd bring in a Yeats poem because I was talking about this with Owen, my son, who's just been studying Irish history, 20th century Irish history.
Yep.
We're talking about the Easter Uprising. And this is about the rebels who were hung by the British for the Easter Uprising. When the leaders were hung at Kilmainham Jail, there was outrage at the British brutality, which changed the whole feeling of Ireland towards the British. Till on a sacrifice can make a stone of the heart. Oh, when may it suffice that is heaven's part, our part to murmur name upon name, as a mother names her child, when sleep at last has come on limbs that had run wild. What is it but nightfall? No, no, not night, but death. Was it needless death, after all? For England may keep faith for all that is done and said. We know their dream enough to know they dreamed and are dead. And what if excess of love bewildered them till they died? I wrote it out in a verse. MacDonagh and MacBride and Connolly and Pearse, now and in time to be, where evergreen is worn, are changed, changed utterly. A terrible beauty is born.
Okie dokie, so that's probably about enough.
I found what I was looking for.
Jeanette, so she's looking for you. Go, Jeanette, you do your stuff. Jeanette gets to read her own work. Yay.
There are elements in Camford who considered the way you looked to count more than the quality of your brain. Did I ever tell you about the time they tried to make me wear a suit? No, they obviously hadn't seen you in a suit. I usually only donthem for funerals, so all my funeral suit complete with black armband. They asked me who it was for, and I told them it was for freedom. Nothing more was ever said about my choice of attire. By then they had reached the reception. Amy suddenly felt exposed, the outsider, the criminal, there under false pretense. Pale, olive-skinned women in elegant silver or black evening numbers chatted with black-suited men over slender glasses of bubbling champagne. The multitudinous voices merged into an evanescence of sound. They nodded and smiled at Tom. They stared at Amy, suspicious of her dark skin, outraged by the flaunting yellow dress. She was not meant to be intimidated by them. The afternoon had turned into a battle. Paula squeezed Tom. He looked at her, and she returned his stare, bold, undaunted. Other men were looking into at her too, the libido stirring gazes. Aware of her focus of attention, Tom took her over to where the drinks were being served and got her a champagne. She held the glass in her hand for a little more than a minute. Without savouring the expensive imported flavours or even noticing the delicate bouquet, she put it down and left it. She was not going to drink their champagne, not even going to attempt to look like one of them. She moved among them proud and elegant, bright, aware of their gaze, hostile or curious or desiring, an aura of silence ringed her. Tom belatedly realised that to use someone else as a gesture of contempt is less than fair. Bringing Amy here had probably been one of the most vilely selfish things he had ever done. A pinstripe suit from the Vice Chancellor's office beckoned him aside. Amy stood alone, stiff, proud. Someone spoke to her, a soft brown-faced, plump little man with blue eyes contrasting oddly with his cinnamon skin, wearing a suit that was too long in the arms and legs and too tight around the middle. It was clearly hired for the occasion. Hello, you with Tom. Tom Frank, I think. I'm Steve Ospagelis, a tutor. I work for Tom, I specialise in poetry. Yes, Amy stared at him as though he was some strange species of animal and did not respond when he paused to allow her to introduce herself. The tutor resolutely plunged on, obviously very uncertain of his ground, but not giving up. You do like a drink? When Tom comes back, I'll get you one. I'm sure he has not gone far. Is there anyone else here, you know? He shifted on his feet. His face turned a richer shade of cinnamon. He was acutely aware that he was unqualified to perform the necessary introductions. Have you seen the buildings? It was built last century. Classic. Well, more romantic, really. Not classical. I use the word classic in the vernacular sense, not technical. He paused, unsure of how to continue now that he'd got himself lost within his own conversation. At that moment, his clumsy attempts at politeness were relieved. Tommy turned, eyes darkened with anger. He looked at the blushing tutor with some surprise, as though wondering how he got out of the zoo and came to be talking to Amy. Pugelis was obviously eager to extricate himself from the situation and return to a safe retreat. "I'll get you a drink now," he immediately moved off, but Tom caught him. "No need, we're going."
Whoa. Hmm. Very interesting. Okay, and?
I was reading an interesting article about narcissists and how narcissists control the world last night, which actually fits into our discussion about politics, and that's why the world is so screwed.
If you want to put yourself up there to rule over people, then yes, having and you have to have a really strong sense of self-worth. And if you're a narcissist, that's really, really easy to have.
Yes.
Because that's your sense of self-worth is all. But you're not a very nice person necessarily. You're not thinking of others and what's best for other people at all.
That's right. The general good.
A narcissist is all very well, but you need people to hold them back, and that's...
That's why words are important, because in the end, they're our best friend.
Yep. We might not have lots of money, but we've got lots of words, and we know how to use them. They're our weapons.
Yes.
We'll wise them, use them well.
Yep. So I guess we will finish off with the news, because we're all out of order this week.
The news.
Next month.
We have the most fantastic... Next month is just going to be incredible. We've got our... Adelaide Plains Festival of Words under the theme of truth. Mm-hmm. And probably this session we've done today is very much on the theme of truth also.
Yes.
And we've got lots and lots of exciting things happening during the festival. We're going from not just in Gawler, we're going out to the Adelaide Plains Council region on the Thursday and the Friday. And I'm very, because that's closer where I live, so I'm less... There's fuel, and that's always good. not travelling here, because it's not quite close. It's just not too far to go, but...
No. So I think our icon for this month should be the Festival of Words.
Festival of Words.
Yep.
It's okay, we've got lots and lots of words happening during the festival, the 26th to the 29th of July.
Yes. So I think we'll call that a wrap.
Okay, thank you. All done.
Okay.
Wonderful, thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye.